Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 12:38 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 9th. Well, it was a pretty quiet day on Wall Street in here today, with the majority of indices just up a bit or down a bit, and the Nasdaq seeing some recovery in some of the technology shares. But some of the more dynamic moves today occurred in Asia, where, for example, Australia was down about 1%, but it's pulling back now below the trend mean. It's coming back towards this psychological 6,000 level, but it's being led lower by the healthcare sector, and it's the healthcare sector has been leading on the upside for most of the last few years. When we take a quick look at that, it's been coming back in a dynamic manner over the course of the last few weeks. That was an awfully large downside weekly key reversal up here at the peak that back in September. Now it's approximating the region of the trend mean. This is the largest pullback we've seen on the index since at least 2016, and I think it is larger than the one we saw back then as well. Well, this has been an incredibly impressive advance since 2011, and one of the original leaders within the sector was Ramsay Health Care, and that's not doing especially well right now. It's been trending lower, in fact, for much of the last couple of years, and it's at the lower side of its range right now. One of the better performers was Cochlear. And that's also one of the bigger success stories that Australia has had internationally. Well, the share is now back in the region of the trend mean. Now, this is not the first time that the share has come back and tested the region of the trend mean, but on each of the previous occasions since this impressive uptrend started in 2014, it has bounced pretty emphatically. So we're at a pretty important level for the Australian markets here, where the banking sector has been underperforming for a while, but the index has held up reasonably well because the healthcare sector has been doing so well. But the banks were in negative territory again in here today. They are coming right back down to test the lower side of this range that's been evolving now for almost 3 years, and a very clear upward dynamic is going to be required to stem the rot. Well, the Australian dollar was a little bit firmer in here today, but this has been a very consistent downtrend since the beginning of this year, and it would need to break its sequence of lower rally highs to really question the overall downward bias. But it is in the region of that 70 cent level, and that did offer an area of support back in 2015 and 2016. So I think people will be thinking that it could potentially also offer support around that level on this occasion. So we're probably due some steadying for the Australian dollar in here, but the markets do need some form of bullish catalyst. Meanwhile, the resources sector, which has been exhibiting relative strength over the course of the last while, was down a tad in here today, but it's right in the region of the upper side of this range over the last 6 months, and it really does need to break on the upside to confirm a return to demand dominance. But this has been a very impressive advance over the course of the last 4 weeks. It's a little bit overbought in the short term, so I don't think it would be beyond the bounds of possibility that we get is just some pause of consolidation in here. Well, when we think about the resources sector, a lot really does hinge on what exactly is happening in China. The London Metals Index is right now, it has unwound about three quarters of its overextension relative to the trend mean. It needs to demonstrate a clear ability to sustain a move above the trend mean to question the medium-term downward bias here. So far, this doesn't look like anything other than a steadying within the context of a market that has pulled back violently. And when we look at, for example, the copper price, well, that is perhaps the most important of all the industrial metals. It was in positive territory in here today, and the most important thing it's done in the course of the last few months has been to rally emphatically 4 weeks ago to break that downward bias. So If it can sustain a move back above that $2.90 area, well, then could potentially be talking about a recovery scenario, but there isn't it's too early to reach that conclusion just yet, I fear. Well, when we look at what's going on in China, the market is open again after the Mid-Autumn Festival. It pulled back sharply yesterday. It was a bit steadier in here today. The banking sector is still right in the region of the trend mean, and it was again a little weaker in here today, but not in the same kind of dynamic way that it was yesterday. And that progression of higher reaction lows since the beginning of July remains intact. But having pulled back from the region of the trend mean, it really does need now to demonstrate that it can hold the majority of the advance. The issue with China is that they've been leaning on the domestic financial sector for all of this year so far. They're trying to squeeze out some of the excesses that they've been successful in cutting off the ability of companies to issue foreign currency debt, but the outstanding balance is in the hundreds of billions of dollars. Then they have also clamped down on the shadow banking sector, so that withdrew some capital from the system as well, and not a small amount. Well, they've been cutting the reserve requirements, which is clearly favoring the much larger banks, but it isn't the much larger banks that have got the problem. It's in the regional banks, and the regional banks are not listed, so we don't get to monitor their price action and we don't get any reports from them. But that is where the focus of the non-performing loans is. That's where all of the leverage is, because they're not in a favored category by the central government that benefits from access to the equivalent of the discount window. So that remains a thorn in the side of the Chinese regulators. And I think a lot of people are keeping a very close eye on what happens with the renminbi. The dollar was off its lows in here against the renminbi. This doesn't look like anything other than a pause in an otherwise rather consistent advance. And when we look at this on a weekly basis, it really does appear that the price is going to have a run back up towards this 7 level versus the dollar. We have to go rather a long way back in terms of history before it was all the way back in 2007 when the price was trading above the 7 level to the renminbi. And on that occasion, the renminbi was appreciating. Well, there is little prospect of the renminbi appreciating against the current background. And I think the conclusion that people are starting to come to is that fiscal stimulus debt generally tends to have a bigger trickle-down effect, and it leads to a bump in economic growth, and the USA is still enjoying that. Well, China has been trying to tighten, so it is going in the opposite direction. Well, people are going to start getting the message that fiscal stimulus tends to work in terms of reigniting growth, so there's a good chance that that is where we're going to see additional focus. Then there was also news today that additional spying chips have been discovered in telecoms companies in the USA, and that there is a strong possibility that just about anyone that has got super micro chips in their servers is pro or it or motherboards within their servers is probably going to have an issue with spy hardware having been installed. So this represents rather a very, very large question for China. Why on earth would anybody have their factory in China when there are other potentially cheaper destinations that have got lower wages and a somewhat better governance situation? Because there's no getting around the fact that governance in China is deteriorating. So that is likely to represent a bullish characteristic for perhaps some of the less developed emerging markets, and Vietnam stands out as a potential beneficiary. But the fact that there's still pressure coming to bear on China and its very large weighting within the emerging markets index remains headwind for other emerging markets, and that's particularly the case among the Asian emerging markets. So Vietnam was a little bit, well, it was unchanged in here today, but it's been weaker over the last few days. It does need to demonstrate that it can sustain this move above the trend mean. The Taiwanese market was down in a dynamic manner as a result of this scandal in the supply chain last week, and now it really needs to demonstrate that it can hold the region of the trend mean, and more importantly, the 10,000 level. So it would need to bounce back above the mean in pretty short order if it's going to find support there. Then the Thai market, well, the baht has been quite weak over the last couple of days because there's a reticence among or in by the central bank to raise interest rates. So that has resulted in the baht pulling back, and that's weighing on the stock market. But the baht has certainly been one of the more stable currencies in the region. The South Korean market is the 11th largest economy in the world. So when people generally tend to think about synchronized global economic expansion, they look at the top 10. Korea is highly exposed to the global economy, and the index pulled back sharply from the region of the trend mean last week. This looks like a type 2 top with right-hand extension, and it would need to sustain a move back above that trend mean to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment and to question the overall downward bias. Then it's also worth looking at the won, because the dollar has first step above the base characteristics here. It's been consolidating above the trend mean for the last 3 months, and it's now coming back up towards the upper side of that range. So there is a continued pressure coming to bear on the emerging markets, resulting from these troubles that China is having, but that doesn't mean that they won't benefit in the medium term. If they do garner more of the high tech or electronics manufacturing capacity that was offshored to China, then that could be potentially very beneficial for these kinds of countries. Well, India is certainly in that category. It already has a highly developed pharmaceutical sector, so that demonstrates that India is more than capable of providing the kind of high-tech manufacturing capacity that the electronics sector would favor, but it needs to get its infrastructure in place. Well, the Nifty remains under pressure, and it is the banking sector and the pressure that's coming to bear on the banks from the RBI that is responsible for that. But again, this is a self-inflicted trouble, and it's likely to represent a bullish characteristic in future if they can sort out the issues with non-performing loans in the banks today. Well, with emerging markets under pressure and certainly some big questions being asked about the integrity of the supply chain in China, that's most particularly a factor for Europe. And the Euro stocks was pretty much unchanged in here today, having pushed down to new reaction lows. It was able to recoup the loss, and there is a short-term oversold condition. But upside follow-through, similar to what we saw in February and March, would really be required to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. And even then, there's this progression of lower rally highs that's been forming all year, and that would need to be broken in order to really confirm that we've got anything other than short-term steadying. Well, when we look at what is going on with the euro, I was rather puzzled why everyone was getting so enthusiastic about a breakout for the euro back at the end of September. I just don't see a strong fundamental case for why the euro should be rallying in here, but it is a little oversold in the short term, and it is coming back down towards the lower side of its range. So I think there is potential for a bounce to occur in here, but when we look at this on a weekly basis, it has encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean, and it needs to demonstrate that it can sustain a move above that level to really question the overall downward bias. Then, when we look at what is going on in Italy, well, the government there today admitted that they are worried about outside factors, And not least because the government bond yield has broken out on the upside. So any kind of moderation in the rhetoric that's coming out of Rome has tended to result in the yield coming back down, and that was certainly the case in here today. But a sustained move below the trend mean would be required to really question the supply dominance that we have in Italian bonds here. Well, when we look at what's going on in Wall Street, then it's the Nasdaq did most of the running in here today, and it is finishing out the day in positive territory, but not nearly as powerful a move as we saw earlier on in the day. And it has broken the sequence of higher reaction lows. So this is a somewhat larger reaction than we've seen over the course of the last few months. But it is still somewhat overbought relative to the trend mean, and it has room in which to consolidate and still be above the peaks that were put in earlier this year. So I think it was due a little consolidation, and we're getting some consolidation, but there isn't really any evidence of type 1, type 2, or type 3 trend endings here right now. Then the small caps had been the index that had broken out most effectively, and then they've also pulled back most dynamically over the course of the last couple of weeks. Well, the Russell 2000 is now right in the region of the trend mean, and that area also approximates the upper side of that underlying trading range. So this is a natural area where we might anticipate support starting to be found, and prices have at least paused in this area. And the banking sector is beginning to respond to higher interest rates and therefore better margins for their businesses, but it needs to continue to bounce from the region of the trend mean. And the relative strength that utilities are starting to exhibit right now, well, we can take that in two different or reach two different conclusions from that. The first would be that people are betting that bond yields are not going to continue to rise, and therefore utilities represent an entry opportunity here. Alternatively, people are looking at the dividend growth rates that these kinds of companies tend to offer, and therefore they probably are offer a better hedge against an inflationary outcome than any other yield type investment. So there are two potential outcomes, but I think the most important point is that it has bounced pretty emphatically from the region of the trend mean, and this looks like a generally or it looks like a recovery scenario based on the price action that we've had just now. Well, when we concentrate on the precious metals and energy, Brent crude has been pulling back over the last few days, and then it was a little steadier in here today. So this has been a reaction in the region of about $3 and a bit. That's certainly nothing in the way of a clear downward dynamics. The most consistent thing about the chart over this year has been the upward bias on West Texas Intermediate and the inability to hold the rallies to new highs, whereas Brent crude has been much more consistent, where we have ranges one above another. And this range, it doesn't look like anything other than a little pause. We can also see that the reactions have been about $10 and the breakouts have been about $10, and this is still a breakout. So I think it's reasonable to conclude that the first area of potential support is going to be around $90, and that's assuming that the trend remains consistent. Well, that should begin to filter through into the outlook for the resources or this year the major oil producers. Royal Dutch Shell, for example, has bounced from the region of the trend mean. Of course, this is much more of a gas company these days, whereas Chevron has also pushed back up now, and it's coming back towards the 130 area, which represented resistance earlier on in the year. But if oil prices continue to move higher, then that is likely to represent a tailwind for just about everything in the energy sector, but most particularly those that rely on higher priced crude, not least deep water or the the Canadian tar sands. So what these do represent are probably later in the cycle or higher price plays on the energy sector. Then gold prices today were relatively steady. They're still right in the region of the peak, of the lows that we saw at the beginning of this month. Well, this range has been very inert relative to the trending phase that we saw between April and August, but it needs to do better. The most recent dynamic was on the downside, and that it really needs to push up and away from this $1,200 area. Well, there is, if we were simply to look at the gold price, then there's probably not a lot to give us hope that it's going to be able to do that. But silver prices have at least held their upward bias. And if they can firm from here and push back above the $15 area, well, that would lend some support to the gold price. And platinum prices were up about almost $10 in here, but bouncing from the lower side of this little range. And this, of the three, represents relative strength. So it's looking increasingly likely that platinum will be the metal that will lead the precious up and away from this period of, I think this downtrend that's been in evidence just about all year. Then when we look at palladium prices, well, palladium has been the relative strength leader, and it rallied very emphatically 3 weeks ago to break the downward bias. That would suggest now that $1,000 is likely to be an area of support, whereas it had been an area of resistance for a good part of this year so far. Well, bond yields today were a little bit steadier, and we're not seeing the yield surging higher on a daily basis. There is a short-term oversold condition for bond prices. So what that suggests is that we're in for some pause here. But it's really now a sustained move below 3%, where that had previously represented resistance is probably now likely to represent support for yields, would be required to question the overall supply-dominated environment. I think that when we think about things longer term, the most likely scenario is we are going to get more fiscal stimulus, because it is the only way to assuage the protest vote that is coming out in an increasingly large number of countries against globalization and corruption, and then also the loss of living standards that millions of people have experienced, particularly since the credit crisis. And that's likely to be a secular theme. So everything else is likely to be framed in terms of that when we think about the fact that bond yields have been coming down for so long. Well, that's likely to change. That bond yields moving higher is going to put greater pressure on governments to deliver in terms of governance and higher living standards. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.